Are we okay yet?
Yeah, we're just going to work on the microphone.
Oh, okay. All right. So if I get questions, I probably need to repeat the question?
Yes.
I'll try. I'll really try. Okay. I know you had some questions. Yes. Okay. Demons are fallen angels. So whatever they were an angel of, they become the direct opposite. If they're a creator angel, like a holy Sephiroth, they're absolute total destruction.
Okay.
That's how it works. Probably the best book I know of is the Encyclopedia of Angels, or no, Dictionary of Angels. That's the best one. It's got both fallen as well as the angels, what their duties are, what their names are.
And then also
blood curses. Oh, she's asking about blood curses. There's all different kinds of curses. We can. There's some I'm sure I don't even know. But what I've dealt with is blood curses, which are usually family curses. In other words, someone cursed the entire bloodline of a family. It may be the male lineage, or it could be the female lineage. And plus, anyone that marries into, if it's the male, it would be anyone marrying into that particular family and taking over that name. And it can cause massive destruction. One family that I dealt with, they were in New Jersey, and all the males ended up in prison, being imprisoned, wrongly convicted, all by the age of about 28. All usually right after they had gotten married and had a first child. And it went down like three or four generations. And I caught it, and I reversed it and dissolved and dispersed it and returned it back to God.
And that, like, under the curses, that.
What you do is you call it for what you believe it is. If it's a generational, it would be a blood family curse. So you cover both sides of it, a blood family curse. And then there are just curses, and there are damnations, and there are all sorts of various hexes, conjurations, depending. And what you do is you cover the whole gamut.
Just cover all your bases, make sure whatever you
do. Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not uncommon, unfortunately, especially in Europe. And here as well, very often through the Indians, American Indians, when one of the members, usually the female, marry into the white, the parents will go to the shaman and ask that that family be cursed. Slightly bigoted. But it's just not uncommon. And curses can do some severe damage. I had one couple, their family was very, very jealous of them. They had some motels in New Orleans, and they put a curse on the man, and his arms and legs shriveled and had to be amputated. Yeah.
New Orleans.
Yes, it was voodoo. They didn't get to me before that, but I could have stopped it.
Is that the same family that had the daughter?
No, I've got everywhere, all over the world. But one thing that can actually help in protection against curses and spells and that sort of thing is to wear a silver cross and a silver pentagram together. Yes, ma'am. That does protect you. It works together. Now, pentagrams. There's a lot of disinformation about pentagrams. Pentagrams is a right-sided star, one point up, 2 points down, within a circle. Now, this pentagram was given to King Solomon by the Archangel Raphael to give him authority over the demonic. The demonic cannot stand against a pinnacle or a pentagram. That's why witches wore them, to give themselves protection. So they got looped into the same thing. People started believing, and of course TV and movies didn't help anything, but they started believing that the pentagram represented the witch or witchcraft, which is not true. So the Satanist took the pentagram, reversed it, turned it upside down, inverted it, 2 points up, 1 point down. Plus they took the cross, inverted it upside down. It became a door opener for the demonic. But there's not a lot of information out there. Now, in the Dictionary of Angels, it does also talk about the pentagram. There's a lot of knowledge in there. I highly recommend the book. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
You mentioned damnation. If a person likes to say damnation with vehemence,
it can work.
Does that do something?
I had a call, and a woman said that she heard of me because of a friend of hers had come to see me, and I had helped her. And she said, when I started dialing your number, my stove started making all these really weird knocking sounds. And she said, I'm having all kinds of strange things happen in my kitchen and in my house. And she said, I'm really afraid. Things are like moving, and it's really, really bad here. So I did the lifting. Nothing happened. I went, okay, there's something else going on. And then I heard, she's got a damnation. I said, did somebody, there's something going on here. Was someone in the house before all of this started that really, really hates you and hates the house and what's going on? She said, well, my husband passed and I inherited the house. And his daughter came by this morning and I had to tell her I was going to have to sell the house because I have no money. And she started damning everything. I said, well, that's the problem. So what I did, I had the damnations. I called it forth. I released it and unbound it, turned it from negative to positive, dissolved and dispersed it, returned it back to God. Everything stopped. Isn't that amazing? I'd never done that before. But it worked. So yes, damnations can be very dangerous. I didn't either. I had no idea. But this girl was just, oh, she was filled with venom. She didn't like the woman anyway for marrying her father. And this was like $2 or $3 million estate, you know, that she should have rightfully, in her mind, inherited, in which case there was no money to keep it up and the woman was going to have to sell it. So, yeah, there was a lot of energy behind that damnation.
So if someone just says, I'll be damned.
It's not a real good idea.
Right.
You're damning that's yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't have so much intent.
No.
It might not be as bad, but it's still not a good idea.
Well, you can bring a lot of bad luck to you. It's just not a real good idea.
I know.
Not good. Carol? Yeah. I got a call from Florida, and it was a family, and their 3-year-old son was speaking in Latin, bastardized Latin, and talking like a grown man and was growling, and the family was absolutely terrified. And I checked into it, and it was a damnation that the father had put on his own son. He'd gotten really, really mad at his son. His son had been causing, you know, acting out, causing some problems, and he damned the child. And from that day forth, the child became possessed, demonically possessed. I cleared the child, and I warned the father to never, ever do that again. That's when I learned that you can damn your own children, and you can damn things. Well, if it's not directed, it's probably safer.
Not since you told us that story the first
time. Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a child, my guides have always trained me and taught me. And my guides started telling me, I think I was about 8. I'm pretty sure I was about 8 years old. They said, do not use God's name in vain. Ever. There is power in that, and it can do great harm. And I said, what do you mean? They said, do not say GD, you know, towards a person or a situation or whatever. It said it's very, very dangerous. Well, I'm trying to tell everybody, here I am, an 8-year-old child, don't be damning anything, especially in the name of God. You know, I'm like this little missionary. So, of course, no one listened to me. And I grew up understanding that that was a very dangerous thing to do. Well, as I started, my abilities started to unfold, I started to see what it actually could do, and it was very, it was frightening.
Well, you always hear about
TikTok
and everything, but that's what they're talking about. People don't get it.
No. So, I highly advise you to advise those that you care about to not do that.
Even my dad, I'm like, Dad, no, for real, don't say it. That's the thing.
Oh, I don't mean it like that.
I'm like, well, I don't care.
It doesn't matter how you mean it. That's the problem. What I've learned is that words carry power. Whether you know what they mean or not, they still carry that particular power. And that's why it's so dangerous.
So if a person says D and U, does that, the person who said it, does that person who said it get some sort of negative effect sitting back at them?
Usually, yeah. Everything goes full circle.
But it affects, they can affect the person they're saying it to.
Can.
And does it have to do with the amount of emotion that person?
It has a lot to do with the emotion. If there's great emotion behind it, it seems to carry that, the power of that emotion. Like the father with the son, at that point in time, he really meant it. If he had thought about it, he never would have said it. But at that point in time, he was irrational with some other things that were happening, and it exploded. Yeah, the emotion. And it carried with it demonic. So, and some people are more powerful with manifesting than others. Yes?
Could not the demonic realm, world, whatever those demonic spirits are in that area, could they have triggered that within him?
Absolutely.
So he would manifest it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, the demonic is always hanging out, okay? They're always around you. And they look for weaknesses that they can slide in on. And if you give them that weakness, they will come through. It's kind of like, and we've talked about this in the past, but I'm going to state it again. It's kind of like these people that see Ghostbusters on TV and they want to do ghostbusting for themselves. and they go out there and they piddle around with trying to get recordings of spirits talking and photographs and that sort of thing. And the demonic goes, ooh, let's just slide right on in.
There's a red ball of light. I think that's my grandma.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Look at that face in there. I'm telling you, the demonic is always out there. They're always ready. Yeah, they're, well, yeah. Gives us challenge. Yes. When you start playing in the area of phenomena, low phenomena, you open yourself up to anything that's out there because you're inviting. And that invitation isn't just going out to spirit and spirits of. It's like, who's out there? It's a big giant Ouija board, you know. Go out there and play. I'll say one thing, it can teach lessons.
So if someone likes to damn you, or damnation, or whatever, then you just meditate and pray and get through it, or whatever?
You take the curses and you
can it. You can take it off of you.
So there's a specific...
Yes.
And
yes.
That is
energy and consciousness of curses, spells, conjurations, hexes, fixes, damnations, I call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come forth that have been sent to me. Energy and consciousness of curses, spells, conjurations, hexes, fixes, damnations, I call thee forth through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that have been sent to me. I release thee and unbind thee, uncurse thee, unspell thee, unconjure thee, unhex thee, unvex thee, undamn thee, and all thy many parts, layers, and intricacies, turn thee from negative to positive, dissolve and disperse thee, and return thee back to God, or to sender as choice. Do that twice, and it's gone.
Or to sender, huh?
Or to sender.
So that's their choice.
You can choose to send it to sender. You have to be cautious. Family, blood, curses, do not send back to sender. Now, the reason is because you might have been the one that originally put into place the blood family curse, and you will get the tar knocked out of you. I've seen that happen. I didn't know any better, so I sent it back to sender. Whapped him out. Blood family curse.
And then did you have to continue?
I did. I did. Yeah, I did. Because, I mean, they were foaming at the mouth and jerking, and it was not a good thing. It was Lynn. Yeah. Yeah. She chose to learn a whole lot more after that incident. So, see, when you put a curse on a family, a blood curse, I don't care what the reason is, you will be the last in line to receive the curse, conjuration, hex, fix, damnation.
So you're saying
sins. I'm saying your sins.
It's gonna come back to you.
Yes. You may marry into that family and end up being the recipient. I can't even say the word. Thank you. Of that curse or whatever the case may be. Yeah, you don't do curses or spells or anything. It is wrong. It's magic. You're binding whatever it is that you're using away from God for you. And that is wrong. True magic is working in harmony with everything around you to do good things, not bad things. Yeah.
So is that like the best kind of witchcraft?
It is. I'm not saying that people that get into witchcraft are bad people. They're not. I think they're not knowledgeable. I think they don't understand that they are actually binding whatever it happens to be away from God to do their will. And that's wrong. It's breaking free will. Now, they're going, well, this is with herbs and trees and animals. And well, excuse me, they have will too. You don't do that. So no, I disagree with witchcraft. And I think witchcraft is extremely limited. They go as far as the moon. Excuse me. I don't think so. I'm not going to worship a moon. I got a whole universe out here. I got a god of a whole universe out here. And God only knows how many universes out here. I am not going to limit myself. I'm not placing a judgment. Speaking of Christmas, we are going to be celebrating Christmas. And Jesus is the reason for the season. And I will not be politically correct. So Merry Christmas. Thank you. I think we don't really give, how can I put it? Without Christ, there would be absolutely no redemption whatsoever. And I don't think we truly appreciate that we have that option to be redeemed, each and every one of us, back to God and to heaven. And it's strictly because of Christ. And Christ has been my Lord and Master since, I guess, Christ existed. And I existed. And Christ has always been my absolute master teacher. And I try to always, I don't always do it, but I try to always walk my talk as much as I possibly can. Because that's what Christ taught me. And the teachings that I've gotten have always been from the Holy Spirit. And they've taught me about Christ. And they've taught me the love of Christ. And that Christ never, ever judged. He really did not judge. Male, female. There was no judgment. All were brothers and sisters in his eyes. And he stated that. And I know that Christ wasn't born on Christmas Day, but we should celebrate it. We should, yeah, I was. We should celebrate it. So I hope you think a little bit more about Christmas this year with a deep sense of appreciation. Because I'm here to tell you, I could not do my work without Christ. Everything that I do is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful work, not because I am, but because of the work itself and what I've been taught through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, which is what I try to teach here. And I'm not here to teach a religion. And I know there's a lot of people that have really been turned off because of religion. They've been turned away from Christ. But I'm here to tell you that's the dark side that has done that. And they're good at it. Try to always remember Christ is real. Satan is real. Christ is real. And the dark side cannot stand up to Christ. There's just no way. I went under years of training. And part of that was the demonic. I had to go through years of training with the demonic. And they started attacking me, and I found out the power that they had. And I learned the major power was my own fear. So I got rid of my fear. I don't do the fear thing. They have no power if you don't give them fear. And I learned to take my authority through Christ and command them away. And they left. Now, I won't tell you they didn't come back, because I had to be taught how to truly stand in my authority and how to take that command and use it without fear and with absolute authority through Christ. And it took a little time. I had to learn. And I learned it. And I'm not afraid any way, shape, or form. Not because I'm afraid they can't hurt me. They can. Okay? But I'm not going to give them my fear, because I know that empowers them. So again, have appreciation that you have the power of Christ, that you can use it anytime you want. All you have to do is use it. Take your authority and use it. And nothing can really and truly touch you, per se. They will back off. Any questions on that? I wanted to make sure that got said tonight, because I think it's really important. People do not know. There's still wars going on out there. People don't know that Christ had to go through the crucifixion. He had to create the tunnel of light so that all could be redeemed back to God. There was no other way. That's what he came here to do. He didn't come here to do the healings. He showed the power of God through the healings and what we can do. He didn't come here to cast out demons. He showed the truth of it and that it could be done. He came here to be crucified so that he could accomplish being the Redeemer. Christ is the Redeemer. If you work for Christ, if you walk the path for Christ, you too are redeemers. That's what it's all about. Redeeming souls back to God. That's what the lifting's all about. When you say that lifting, you are having the appropriate archangel or angels or band of mercy come and take what is attached to you and get them safely into the light. How important is that? My God. I think that's extraordinary. You can't do it on your own. You have to do it as the lifting and in those names of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. But every human being can do this. You have the authority. You have the right. It's been given to you. Only you didn't know it. It's not being taught. And it should be. Hopefully, I'll do my job as I can. I'm really not here to, per se, teach. I try to share what I have learned over the years. My actual job is to do more of the redemption work than anything else, is getting the information as to how to and to do it. Yes, absolutely. Neat.
The curses, and we were like whipping out all of our sheets. We were like, make photocopies.
People need this. They need this information. Yes, dear.
What is redemption?
Getting one's soul back to God. Restoring the soul back to God. Yes.
So each of our lives is a gift from God. Everyone's life.
Everything's a gift from God. Satan doesn't have any gifts. I remember one time somebody said to me, "You believe in Satan. You work for Satan, don't you? Your gifts come from Satan." And I said, I don't have any gifts from Satan. Satan doesn't have any gifts to give anyone. Satan can take your gifts and twist them and pervert them, but he has no gifts to give you.
Correct.
Really?
Well, that's what I was asking you, right? Isn't that what you were saying, that people kind of find their soul away? And
people can do that, and they can, they
but
will
those
get...
those aren't gifts because he's giving something.
No. And it's illusionary anyway. Those are movies. Okay.
The Faustian bargain doesn't exist.
If you open up on that level, he'll go, okay. Does it mean you're going to get stuff? Probably not. But if you open up, he's got you. That doesn't mean he has to give you anything. Okay.
I just stared at him. Moving on.
People have different beliefs, and it's okay. You know, I had one young man, he said, "I think that you're here to be my teacher." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, I've learned many, many things from many, many people." I said, "Which side do you listen to?" He said, "Always my left side, because my left side tells me the right side will make me go the wrong direction." I said, "I'm not your teacher." Sorry about that.
You are flat.
No. 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 He was setting his belief system. And he had been studying in Santeria and some other black arts. So, yeah, I'm not his teacher. It's very simple. It's sad. But, yes.
What do you mean by which side do you listen?
Dark side speaks to you to the left side. Guides speak to the right side. You're welcome. That's pretty common. I used to hear mine from the time I was little, all over the place. Yeah, it's like, pay attention. We're here. I have had that happen. That means that you're really getting ready to do something incredibly stupid. Yeah. So... yeah. I was at Lakemont, Georgia, and I was with a group of people that were very interesting people. One of them was Major General Bert Stubblebine. And he wanted to incorporate me into remote viewing. You ever seen the movie Men That Stare at Goats with George Clooney? It was about that. And my guides yelled at me and they said, his path is not your path. Okay. I didn't even know what it was. I had no idea.
I'm not familiar.
He was the major general involved with teaching and being involved with remote viewing for the Army. Okay. And he was actually interviewed for the movie Minister at Goats. He was part of like the interviews for everyone that was involved in that, along with Rima Labo.
And that was about the Army, working with the psychic.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Did he really try to run into the
wall? Who, what?
When he did the first one, he went to the wall and he found himself in the wall. He's able to go through the wall.
That was a movie. It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me at all. I like the man. But I like unusual people. I have no idea why. But I do. And I liked him. I thought he was really walking down the wrong path. And but he liked me. You know, and oh, yeah, I got to meet all those guys. Ed Danes in particular. Yeah, that was really interesting. Yeah, I went to a conference that was being put on by all those folks, and they had brought some Russians in that were very good psychics, and I had lunch with the Russians, the psychics, and they said, what are these people really about? So I told them. I said, these are people who teach people how to use their psychic abilities without any spiritual foundation whatsoever to accomplish. And that is very, very dangerous. I said, I cannot tell you what to do, but if that's what you want to do, then understand, there is zero spiritual foundation here. They left. They got mad at me. I can't imagine why. Yeah, no, the Russians left. Ed Dames and those, they got a little upset with me. But they asked me, and I told them a truth. And it wasn't a judgment call. It was simply the truth.
I don't want to tell them what they're asking.
Which part of it? Hmm. Which part of it?
Remote spying.
They did remote spying. They would get latitude and longitude and tell them to go to that area and to report back to them what they saw. So it would be places where they had weaponry or bombs or whatever the case may be. So it was remote viewing. Ed Dames then started a business where he would spy using remote viewers on other businesses to get secret information. The corporate, yeah. And it would run, I think, 20,000 a pop. Yeah, it's like that. Yes, they did a lot of that, but they also did training in how to stop people's hearts. That's what happened. That was for real. To kill people.
For war.
Espionage. Spies. Political. No spiritual foundation whatsoever. It was for material ends. Yeah. I wasn't about, I had no idea what these people were all about until I was suddenly like thrown in the middle of it. Well, my guides, that's when they yelled at me, their path is not your path. And I went, nope, can't do it. Can't be involved in this. Won't be involved in this. This is not my path. So that was kind of a fun intro for me. I noticed, though, that when they did remote viewing, because we got remote viewed, it felt like you were standing on an earthquake, a little earthquake.
Like when they were listening.
Uh-huh.
What did you do with
your... Sent it back.
So if you feel that, it's something
that's possible. No, it's remote viewing. You literally feel like the earth is going like a little earthquake underneath your feet, and you feel it kind of ripple through your body.
Is that back?
No. It's a really weird feeling. I only had it happen twice. Yeah. Well, it might have been. I don't know, but I checked to see if anybody else's earth was moving, and theirs weren't. And I had to check and find out what it was. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm.
So if you can feel the vibration, like...
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's remote
viewing? I've done it myself. I didn't know it was remote viewing. I just did it. I do remote healing. I can do remote healing. So an example, I had one guy said, I want to see if you can do this. I went, okay, what are we going to do? He said, I want you to see if you can find something by knowing the address and the location and go there and see if you can find it. I went, okay. You know, I was always game for whatever. I was dumb. Pardon? Anyway, he gave me the name of the person, the address, city, state. So I went there, and I looked, and it was what it was. I don't remember what it was, but it was in the drawer in the kitchen, and I told them, which is what I do here very often, too, in locating things, missing animals, that sort of thing. And, well, it was there. So another one of my friends, his friend had just had... what do you call it, where they staple the stomach?
Gastric.
Yeah, bypass. And he was bleeding to death. And so he asked me if I could go and heal. I said, I don't know, I'll try. So he gave me the name of the friend, the hospital, the room number, and the bed number, and the address, and city and state. So I went there. And I saw where the bleed was, and I cauterized it, and I saw the bleed stop, and I came back. And apparently I was gone for like 20 minutes, but it felt like really a long time. And the guy's bleed stopped. Oh, that's remote viewing.
What's the difference between that?
I don't go there. I see. I don't leave my body to go there.
With the remote viewing.
I see. There's a book over there, Silva Mind Control. I don't know if we have it still or not. I think we do. Silva Mind Control teaches you how to do that, but not in the way they teach you. It's a much safer way. It's a very good book. It's a good practice book for those that are serious. Along that line, yeah. So, it's safe. It's not... Astral projection, as long as you set up protection, is safe. This is actually safer than that. And you can get good stuff done. But remember, if I can cauterize, you can do the opposite.
Yeah,
And that's what they were teaching. It was the method and the purpose, the agendas. That was what was so bad. It was actually going against God. It was going against spirituality. Yeah. I think so. I had one remote viewer that I met. York, he was brought to me. I'm not going to give out his name, but he had been attacked a couple of times. They had tried to shut his heart down, and he asked me for help, and so I helped him. I put protection. I taught him how to put protection around himself. No. Well, you ask for divine spirits. And you ask for the Archangel Michael and his legions to protect you and your heart from remote viewers in the name of Jesus Christ. And you ask for divine spirits to do healing. And you do the lifting. So, as far as I know, he's still alive. He didn't think he was going to live very long. Pardon? He was terrified. He had left them, and he was terrified. Yeah. I think I was very fortunate that I didn't get hurt. No, I don't think a lot of people realized. I was really surprised when they came out with the movie. I know, they did make a joke out of it, but it wasn't a joke. There was reality there. Do what? No, no, not now. I didn't. I was kind of shocked. Any questions? Then we're going to do break time. Is that all right? Okay.
What's the name of that movie?
Men Who Stare at Goats.
Okay.